serve others. You know, God's given you the gift of music. God's given you a gift to be able to be on the radio here and to and to proclaim the word in those ways. So you use them for the upbuilding of the body, and that's a wonderful thing.
You know, how did you? You're a priest. You're a Catholic priest at the pastor of Saint Teresa of Avila.
Correct.
And how did you have an experience where you became not a traditional Catholic priest, which we all know and love, but you became a charismatic Catholic priest? When did you? When was your experience in the charismatic renewal? And I think that didn't that result in your priesthood?
Well, that's the thing. You know, I got involved in the charismatic renewal when I was a teenager. I was 19 years old, a freshman at Ohio State. A man that I was working with at a local restaurant asked if I'd like to go to a prayer meeting. And I started to get involved more deeply with my faith as a senior in high school and as a freshman at Ohio State. And so I went to the prayer meeting. And at that prayer meeting, people began to sing songs. I thought, oh, this is good, and I like to sing. And then they began to lift their hands, and I thought, this is different. Then they began to pray out loud in their own words, very simply but very earnestly and with great faith. Lord, I love you. Glory to your name. Praises to your name. And as the scripture says, as I learned since, the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. And that both at once attracted me and scared me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like, you know, this is of God. And I was drawn to it. But it was also like, I know if I got involved, I'd be different. Mm-hmm. And I was a little reluctant. And yet I needed to be different, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And eventually the Lord went out. I made a Life in the Spirit seminar weekend at a local retreat house here a number of months later. And at that time, that was my kind of personal Pentecost, where I said yes to Jesus. I'm yours. I gave him the blank check of my life. Do with me whatever you want. And I experienced the power of the Spirit and began to praise God in a more free way. Prayer became more intimate. The Bible came alive. I began to share my faith with others.
Did you speak in tongues?
I did very briefly at that time, and probably it was a couple months later where I yielded that gift more fully and began to pray in tongues freely, fully, regularly. And
sometimes
like that.
At Twinsburg at the prayer group, I'll tell some of my friends, I say, you should come out there. And they say, well, why? Why? I say, well, we have healings and we do praise to the Lord. And there's even some good works that are done there. We go to the nursing homes and get people and we give money to charity and we help the poor and people come in and they're broken. And then I say, well, do you speak in tongues? I said, well, yeah. They go, well, we don't want to come. It was like, end of story. You know, it's like John the Baptist, or Jesus telling John the Baptist the good news is preached. You know, all these things are happening, but they draw the line. If you speak in tongues, we don't want to go there. And that's something that a lot of people have to get through. I mean,
it's a misunderstood, I think, gift of the Spirit. St. Paul speaks of it mostly in terms of personal prayer, you know, praying in the Spirit, you know, And I think it's a great way to pray because God is bigger than our minds, and we can run out of ways to praise him. And so praying in the Spirit assists us in doing that. And it's also, some people would call it a gateway to other spiritual gifts. It's certainly, Paul puts it at the end of the list. It's not the most important. He says, I thank God I pray in tongues more than all of you. So he did it, but he also said, you know, when I'm in a congregation, I wish that I can speak, you know, five words that are understood than just, you know, being a spectacle speaking in another language. So it's not to be a spectacle as much as a way for us to, you know, at times intercede, at times just praise God beyond the bounds of syllables, of human languages. So it kind of frees our minds, too, I think, just to be open to God in that way.
All of the spiritual gifts, if they don't operate in love, if you're trying to heal somebody and you're not loving them, it's not going to be too effective. You have to have this. You have to have Christ's love first. The other spiritual gifts will flow.
And that's the truth.
You know? And that's the truth.
I mean, and that's why, you know, when Paul speaks of spiritual gifts, he inserts the chapter on love right in the middle of them.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting that chapter 12 ends with earnestly pursue spiritual gifts. I will show you a way that's better than all. Chapter 13 is all about love. And then chapter 14 picks up, though, with spiritual gifts. pursue spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So there's something about we need to pursue them, we need to seek them, we need to be earnest about them. But on the other hand, we need to put them in their proper perspective, that it is, you know, faith, hope, and love that really carry us along through this life unto eternal life. And so certainly we need both. I think there are people who are very comfortable with just emphasizing love. Don't tell me about the gifts, you know.
Yeah, right.
And on the other hand, there are people who maybe get into the spiritual gifts too much and forget, you know, the root and goal is love, you know, and bringing people to God who is love. And so we need both.
So when you were a young man, you had all these experiences with the charismatic gifts and experiencing God's love. And at some point, all of a sudden, Father Bob and then Bob Franco said, I want to be a priest. How did that work?
Well, it wasn't quite that neat. My second year at Ohio State, I began to wrestle with a sense of going to the seminary. In fact, I visited the seminary. I didn't really care for it. But the call wouldn't go away. At the end of that second year, I actually signed off at Ohio State without a college to go to. And I told my folks I was praying about going to the seminary. I remember my dad sort of pushing me a little, saying, you're going to school somewhere. Figure out where. Next year, you're going to school. So one day, probably late June, early July, I opened up the Bible, and I opened up Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor.
That focuses me. That scripture, that in Isaiah 42, focus me that this is Jesus.
So, okay, well, that...
Enough of the nonsense that's floating around me right now. He's come to heal the brokenhearted.
Right.
Beauty for ashes.
That's right. It's all there. And I really tested the Lord here. And God is merciful, especially merciful to me at that moment in my life. I said, but do you really want me to be a priest? And I opened the Bible again, and it was to Romans chapter 15, verse 16. Now, I was using, at that time, the New American Standard Bible, which is a pretty literal Bible with regard to the Greek. And that translation said, to be a minister of Christ Jesus, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, that my offering of...
You have to be so clear, Lord.
Really, yeah. That my offering of the Gentiles might be sanctified, acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit.
So, yeah, that's something.
So I said, okay, Lord. And I began to do the proper things I needed to enter the seminary, you know, visit, fill out the application, go through the testing, etc. And the rest of this, they say, is history. You know, I graduated from college, went to major seminary, was ordained 4 years after college, and been serving as a priest for 26 years now.
Doesn't seem that long to me.
It doesn't seem that long to me either.
Yeah. One of the aspects about you that I think, I don't know if everybody in the audience knows, but people in the Charismatic Renewal know in Cleveland know that you play the guitar.